That's the hardest lesson I've learned, is forgiving yourself.
You are here right now in this place, and you are where you're at right now because God wants to use you to empower other people. For people are within the four walls of their homes.
Mm-hmm. And nobody knows.
Hey, what's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of Call to Serve Podcast. I am your host, Reggie Hubbard. If you have not already, please like, subscribe, comment on our videos. It really helps the mission. But today, I am here with a very special guest. She is someone who I've recently met, but has a huge testimony. Single mother of three. She volunteers at the local sheriff's office on the CERT team. And she's really passionate about pouring into women who were in abusive relationships. So without further ado, let's welcome Miss Brandy Holcomb. Welcome, Brandy.
Thank you.
It's so good to have you on here.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
You know, I definitely think how we met was a God thing for sure. Mm, you know what I mean? Could have been anyone else. Yeah. A different combination of people. But it was you and I. And I think out of that whole group, it was you and I that stayed in touch.
That's right. That's right. Deep calls to deep. Yeah.
For sure. So, Brandy, just do us a favor. Just, you know, this is going to be a very special episode. I already feel it. Just tell us a little bit about you, your background, where you come from. You know, this, who is Brandy?
We're still trying to figure that out.
That's all
right.
It's
a journey. Well, born and raised in Georgia, young mom from a broken home, but Henry County, East Point, born in DeKalb, and just traveled all over Georgia, just, you know, raising kids, meeting people along the way. I think I focused more on being a mom in the beginning. I mean, it's a job. It's a job indeed. But as they get older, you have more freedom. And you're also seeing that you are helping little people become who they are. Mm. And in doing so, you start searching, who are you?
Ooh.
Have I ever found myself? And so trying to raise strong women with opinions, but also humble. It's a job, but it's a calling.
Yeah.
One that I don't take lightly, because not only am I raising three beautiful women, they are, I can't tell how many times I've almost gotten in fights trying to protect them, but not protect them, but just, you know, people, yeah. They're captivating. But, and I say that with humor, but they are amazing. And to be able to raise such, beautiful women. I don't even have the words. I don't know how to articulate the beauty in their souls. Mm. The day that they were born, you could see it. I'm not a hippie, nothing against hippies, but I just, you know, I'm just a regular person. But there was a connection. And maybe that's what happens with moms, is as you give birth and you hold the child in your hand, there's like a connection, a soul tie,
yeah,
if you will. And it's just, it's forever with you. And you grow with them. And that's something that I don't know if everyone realizes. Your mother is going through life too. You know, you look at her and you're like, oh God, here comes mom, or she's so silly, or, you know, whatever your relationship is. Stop and look at her and know she's new right now. She's new at the age that she's at. She's new at, you know, whatever she's learning or growing, or, you know, being a mother at the age that she has the children, you know. Yeah. It's it changes your perspective.
Wow.
And it will definitely put you kind of in a different, more of an opportunity to bond with her and have grace when she's a knucklehead.
Wow, so just girls, yeah?
Yes.
Wow. Oh my
and
goodness.
Powerfully strong. They are strong girls, my but I wouldn't goodness. Have it any other way.
You know, I have two daughters currently, and the oldest is seven.
Oh,
I can't even imagine those teenage years and, you know, going through puberty and all that stuff. But I see them now and I see how, like, they just, they love each other, but they go at it.
Oh, yeah.
So imagining three young women plus mom.
Yeah. So there's four women trying to, you know, gauge the house rules. And it's like,
man, you know,
you know, you don't want this smoke.
All the brothers out there that just have all girls.
Oh, wow. I can't imagine.
And you got to deal with the girls, the wife.
Can't imagine.
Oh, man. Yeah. My utmost respect. That's a whole different level of everything.
Patience.
Yeah.
Patience. Picking your battles.
Yes.
Especially with a strong spirited child, because you don't want to burn the fire out, mm-hmm. but you want to use them because it's like, ooh.
Yeah.
God's going to do a thing with that one. And even the soft ones, because they're unexpected. They come in and they're like, ooh, you know, sniper attack, if you will. But it's cool. It's cool. I am honored to be their mother journey. And it's made me more of a better woman than I believe I could have ever been. There's a reason why God gave me children at a young age. And not only did it save my life, but it made me a lot stronger than I think I could have ever been. Because you will do whatever it takes to take care of your children 100%. When people say they take a bullet, I take a bullet. I jump in front of it to save their life.
Yeah.
And I don't say that lightly. So, 100%. Yeah. It's beautiful.
So if you don't mind me asking, like, how old were you when you had your first child?
I had the oldest at 16.
Okay.
So the oldest was 16, the second was 18, and I was in my 20s with the third one.
Okay.
So I was young.
So I can only imagine. I mean, talk to us about, you know, what you were feeling when you were 16 and you found out that you were pregnant. What was going through your mind at that point in time, if you can remember or recall?
Oh, yeah. It takes a second to get back into that mindset. Obviously, shock. And you have a choice because, you know, you have so many voices in your head and coming from different people. Ultimately, it's yours. And I'm pro-life.
Yeah.
At the time, I didn't even really understand what that was because I didn't know there were options. There are programs that are out there that try to get you to do things and educate you on things. But it saved my life. So it brings so much more purpose to every day. Is it easy? Absolutely not. But it will make you a better person. You will have love like you've never had. You will have a relationship. I have the best time. Before I came here, I was hanging out with all of them.
Nice.
They're cool people, you know? That's why I'm like, yeah. So, but yeah, the mindset's definitely, you're terrified because you're like, whoa, my whole life. But innately, I had it in me. I knew that if and when I have this child, my life changes for her or for it, because I didn't know whether it was a boy or a girl, but it changes not for me anymore. I'm making choices for two, but mainly for them. And I didn't know what that looked like, but I knew that this is heavier. This is bigger. This is bigger than me. But that's when I found myself back at the feet of Christ. Wow. I mean, I'm talking on the ground, in the dirt, face in the carpet, on the ground. You get low. And that's where I found my peace in it. I was floating, singing to my belly. I loved being pregnant. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. Yeah. So I found peace even in the chaos.
Yeah. I think it's a very interesting to see that process, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, so watch a woman go through that process of growing another human being. Mm-hmm. Watch the transformation.
Yeah.
It changes something in you.
Yeah, it does.
You know, I can't speak from personal experience because I don't have the right equipment to
the one thing men cannot do.
To grow a baby, you know. But just watching that, it's a very cool experience, very cool process to watch a woman come into motherhood.
Yeah. That's beautiful that you can appreciate it. Because not many people, a lot of people take it for granted. Oh, there's another pregnant woman. There are two souls in one body. Mm. there are two breaths from God, you know? I mean, we came from dirt. And what set us apart from all the other animals in creation was the Almighty's breath. And he's closer than our own breath. That's how close he is, right? So you just think, and this is what I would meditate on as I was pregnant. And I'd rub my belly and I'd sing songs. I can be a bit of a dork, but it was just a beautiful moment to just get intimate with the Lord and the baby that I'm about to, you know, we're one, you know. But yeah, it's the closest that you'll be with your child. And did you know, fun fact, that after you have a child, you always have a piece of their DNA in you?
I can't say that I knew that.
Yeah, definitely look it up. It's interesting. There's more to it. Science is awesome. But yeah, after hearing that, so it's like you always have a piece of them in you. Even unfortunately, you know, if you've lost a child, that baby, there's a piece of their DNA in you. It always stays with you. So there's some comfort with that.
Yeah. That's very cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so 16, then 18. All right, so now you're still a young woman, right?
Yeah.
You have one child and you find out that you're going to have another one.
Mm-hmm. That one was where I went, whoa. That was where, I mean, I guess they're both woe in their own ways, because now I understand what a child is and what it takes. And it's like, but the first one was so sweet. I had to make sure she was still alive because she was just such a good baby. So I'm like, I got this. I got two hands, two kids. You know, I'm young. I got this. And then she was born. Mighty. That second one, I don't know if you see it because you said you've got two, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, do you see a difference in the personality?
Yes.
Yeah, you're like, what?
My second one I call Baby Dragon. Yeah. Because she's fierce. She's fearless. She just, she's like the little girl version of me.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Copy and paste.
Oh, you know. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
She's just, she's fiery.
You learn a lot, though. You learn a lot about yourself, but you also learn a lot of just how to navigate it, you know. But it's cool watching them. I'm sure you can agree, even with the years that you've, because you said your oldest was seven.
Yes.
So in the 7 years, how much they change, but almost, you know, also how they change you.
Yeah.
You know, because you're like growing with them. So
100%. I mean, I think that God gave me daughters first because I needed to learn patience.
That's good.
You know, it's not that I've never been a patient person, but there's just a different type of patience, I believe, when you have children. And I think when a man has a daughter, he learns even more patience, you know, because they're your little angels, right? And you never want to disappoint them. You never want you don't want to be afraid of you. You know, it's a bunch of things that are going on, but I've never had so much patience in my life until I had a daughter. I just learned how to learn. I just learned how to love a completely different way, you know, and that's cool. It's really cool to know that I even have that, you know, type of capacity to empathize or to, you know, just feelings that I wouldn't feel regularly, that I have the capacity to feel those feelings.
It's love.
That I'm actually a human and not a robot. Yeah. Like the, I guess, you know, people say that the army turns us into. So, but that's a whole nother thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's true though. Cause like with military and survival,
yes,
it can harden you.
Yes.
You know, and you don't really have time to think about it. It's just do get it done. What's next? Oh. You know, grit. But if you're not careful, it can take over. It can harden your heart. But luckily, especially if you know a higher power, there's nothing he can't do.
100%.
And it's definitely softened my heart a lot. And you need a soft heart, especially raising girls, but even sons. Even though you need them to be tough, knock them down a little, get back up, right? Dig a hole when they act up. Now fill it back up. All right, did you learn your lesson? But they still need to know there's a safe spot, a safe place. To cry. It's okay. It's all right. Look, it's tough. Go have your moment and let's get back at it. It's all right. Instead of just saying there's no room for crying. Nah, let them have their moment. It's okay.
100%. Human. Yeah.
We're imperfect, but we're perfectly imperfect. Mm. And then I think if we carry that with us anywhere and everything that we do, we give ourselves grace. That's the hardest lesson I've learned in
that's hard.
43 years, is forgiving yourself. It took me, I think I was about 39 when I learned that, because I was like, why am I still restless and just, I don't understand. And it was actually a pastor friend that, have you forgiven yourself?
Ooh, that's big right there.
It hit me. That's deep. I mean, it dropped me. And I was just like, okay, I'm going to have to call you back because I got to sit with that.
Yeah.
So it changed me forever.
Yeah, I don't think we think about that often. Is when we think of the word grace, we think of grace that's extended to us from God, or the grace that we give to other people.
That's right. Forgive 70 times 70.
You know,
is that it?
But it's like, dang, how often are you thinking about extending grace to yourself?
You don't.
You know, That's a good one.
Yeah.
She's dropping nuggets today.
Yeah, good, good. It's for someone out there.
Yeah.
And I pray that I don't even know how I got here other than you, but I believe that it was the Lord that's leading me. And I'm just faithfully blind, walking blind faith.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. And I just trust him. I just trust him, and I'm here. And if this lands on one person who needs it, one person, to let them know they are loved, it's okay. Okay, you screwed up somewhere. All right, get back up. Get back up. If you need a day, take a day. Don't take more than too many days, though, because you'll stay stuck in it. Mm. Yeah, get back up. Dust yourself off.
Yeah.
My grandmother used to say, rub some dirt in it.
Rub some dirt in it.
We're from Georgia, so we're gun-toting country, you know. Just, we have a lot of slang. So if you hear me, you'll...
No, you're good. You're good.
From time to time, but
you're good.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I appreciate it for sure.
Good.
Okay, so now let's talk about number three.
Okay.
So you say you were in your 20s at that point in time. Mm-hmm. Did you notice any big differences? Were you like in a kind of like a different place in life when you had your third daughter?
Yeah, I was definitely in a different place. I had a little bit more comfort where I was. I've lived with the first two in poverty and in Clayton County. And if you know anything about Clayton County, it's just, you know, it's a different place. I definitely got to keep your head on a swivel.
Clayco.
Okay, you're familiar with
it. I'm familiar, yep.
Okay. and then going to the South Georgia, Noonan. Raising a family in like country clubs, tennis playing, golf on a Saturday, you know, doing maybe, you know, just 18 holes or whatever the kids taking. So it's amazing where the Lord takes you. I mean, it just feels like, it doesn't feel real, to be honest with you. Sometimes you sit back and you're just like, did I go through that? Did that happen? I don't know. It's cool. So with the third one, it was a different atmosphere, big dinners, and just different rooms, different presence.
Yeah.
Different, for sure. Still in survival for different situations. You know, abuse is real. But everyone's blind to it, especially if you put a smile on your face and you keep going because you do what you got to do for your kids, especially for women. Yeah.
That's, that was interesting that you say that, because one of my mentors told me, he said, Reggie, a lot of the times the most dangerous place for people are within the four walls of their homes.
Mm-hmm. And nobody knows.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm extremely, sorry that you had that experience, or those experiences. Mm-hmm. But I believe that you are here right now in this place, and you are where you're at right now because God wants to use you to empower other people. Mm. He wants to use your experiences to build your testimony.
Okay.
And you know, there's no testimony without a test.
Mm. Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because if we're being realistic, there's thousands, probably of millions of women who are in that situation right now. Mm-hmm. They're stuck for whatever reason, whether it be a financial reason, they can't get out because what's going to happen with my kids? Where are we going to go? Who's going to help us? Who's going to, you know, how am I going to survive? It's a survival thing.
It is.
And, you know, especially if your kids are in a decent situation and you feel like, oh, they're finally stable. My suffering means nothing if they can be happy.
Yeah.
You know, I've been in law enforcement for over 12 years and I've seen countless situations where there was abuse going on and, you know, somebody end up going to jail and then we get subsequent calls right back the same people.
Yeah.
And I always wonder, I was like, man, like, why are you still with this person? You know,
mm-hmm. It's hard to understand.
Yeah,
it is outside. It's, and even now I find myself and I have to check myself like, Brandy, it's probably the Lord. You know what? It is. He's like, remember where I brought you out of.
Yes.
Don't for one second think that you did that. And don't for one second forget where you came from. Mm. When you raise children, that was something that was spoken to me, spoken over me, in me. If you are struggling with your child, and no matter the age, and you want to raise them the best that you can, remember what it was like at that age. As a teenager, as a young adult, was anyone hearing you, what you were saying, or were you muted? Were you forgotten? You know, was it just so hardcore or no one cared? Did you need more guidance? Be the person that you needed for others. And that's why I have such a passion for babies, even little bitty ones, because people are like, that's a kid, throw them around. No, 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 no. Not only is that a soul, and they are precious. Precious to God. It says it in the word. Children, they are so precious. But they also, there's a destiny. There's a purpose that they are here. And so it's we have the gift, the honor to house. And this is next level. You know, this is deep. And I understand that. And this might not be for everyone, but it's for someone. And children just need you to understand and remember they're little people. Even when they're little, they don't get it. They're like, hey, I just know how to color, you know?
Yeah.
Help me out. I don't, you know, just freedom. And then we try to put them in a box, society, school systems, all that. So being able to have a safe place and a place of a home that allows the freedom.
Yeah.
Allow them to grow and flourish more.
Do you think that they understood what was going on?
Them being?
Your children.
Right now or when I...
When you were going through it.
I didn't think they did, but they did. They knew a lot more. And children are resilient. Hear me. Mothers, young women, even fathers, they are resilient. When you think it's going to be too much for them, as long as they have systems like stick to nap time, stick to school, dinner at the same time. That will help. They need that schedule.
Consistency.
Consistency is key. It's key. I cannot stress that.
Oh, yeah.
But they are so resilient that we don't give them enough credit. We don't. And they see a lot more than what we give them credit for. I thought that I would, through some of the abuse that I endured or whatever,
No need to apologize. This is the place where you can be your authentic self. You don't need to hold back. Just
I thought I was hiding it. I'd go in the closet and I would weep. Because it sucks. But I was doing it for them, I thought. And the whole time they knew. And they would find me. The oldest one would. And she's so precious. Her little arms would wrap around my neck. And her little tiny hand on my back would just, she would pat me. It's okay, mommy. It's beautiful. Like they're just, we don't deserve them. We don't deserve them. Mm. So I guess in a way they raised me, you know?
You know, I think my mom might say the same thing.
Yeah.
She was a young mom also, and she had four of us. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to have a man come into our life and raise us, you know, because my father, my biological father was not present.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't know where it came from, but it needed to be shared.
Yeah. You know, life be lifing, right?
Yeah, it does.
It gets real for some people, and sometimes you may feel like you're not dealt a good hand. But one thing that, like, I harp on, you know, and why I know that God has a very big purpose for your life is because a lot of the times when you think about even people in the Bible, right? Talk about Joseph. Before Joseph rose to be second in command over all of Egypt,
come on.
Think of everything he had to go through, from being sold into slavery by his family, thrown into jail, you know, pretty much falsely imprisoned. This his whole journey. I could talk about for hours about the life of Joseph, right? But what people in it, and when you're in the storm, it just seems so bad. But what you got to remember is before there's a blessing, a lot of times there's a breaking. Because sometimes you need to be broken down to be ready to receive what God has in store for you. You know, maybe this is something that you know you had to go through so that you can empower so many women across the world.
I hope so.
You know?
I hope he can use it. Yeah.
He can. He's already doing
all things, yeah.
Look at where you're at right now.
Right.
Right? Yeah, this is going to be a global platform one day.
Yeah.
And there's going to be millions of women that look and see this episode, and you're going to give them the strength that they need to do what they got to do.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, I tell people, man, like, it may seem small to you, but it's big to somebody else.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you don't have to be great to start, but you got to start to be great.
That's right.
On your journey, where you're going, what you're accomplishing. You ain't got to be great to start, but you got to start to be great. And I know that God is going to do some big things, and I feel that we've been connected for, you know,
for a
reason. You know, it could have been anyone else.
Yeah.
Could have been anyone else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the wavelengths or whatever, everything was just connecting. Mm-hmm. Everything we was talking about was like, oh, okay. Everything she said, I was like, oh, okay, hold on. Is this a thing, God? Like, was we, like, any other officer could have been there.
Oh, do you want to explain how we met?
Yeah.
Since we're talking about it.
We're going to get into that. So, yeah. So, before we do that, let's talk about, you know, so you volunteer for a local sheriff's office on their CERT team. So, it's a team of volunteers. You go through, you know, different types of training. You participate in different types of scenarios. But then also, y'all come out and support the community in all different types of events. Mm-hmm. So that's actually how you and I met. Mm-hmm. There was an event at a local park, and y'all are out there to support, you know, an annual Easter egg hunt that y'all do. Y'all was holding it down over there. And I was assigned to come and support y'all with whatever y'all needed, you know, mainly for security purposes, just to make sure citizens didn't, you know, act out of pocket. And just to, for y'all to, you know, because we appreciate y'all volunteering your time, just being there to support y'all any way that we could. So that's how we met, right?
Yeah.
Is anything you want to add as far as that goes?
No, it was, I think it's been a year since I've been on the CERT team. And it started with just wanting to get involved. I've always respected law enforcement. My family's all, like, all the guys are military. My grandfather was an East Point cop. So it's just, you know, grandmother on my dad's side was in the judicial system. She was head of clerks of Fulton County. So we got to, she was feared. She was feared. She was a strong woman, beautiful, strong woman. Anyway, so, you know, just there's so much, you know, you don't realize what's being embedded and how you're going to use it because it's subconsciously, right? And then, you know, not until you're 43 and you're like looking back on your life and you're like, wow, all of these kind of just slowly were little seeds that were planted. And anyway, so, you know, with family, with very, very, I support America. You know, I'm a very proud American.
Patriotic. Let's
very
go.
Patriotic. Yes. I love, all the military. I've got different branches all in my family. And I know a lot of different guys and women that are in it. And I love it. I've worked out with some of them. Like, I can do that. Well, I ended up throwing up, like, but I kept going. So I got some respect, right? I'm like, all right, I got a little high five or a knuckle bump. So, you know, it's good fun though. You know, they like to watch us, what is it? The civilians?
Yes, yeah, civilians.
Civilians just think and then learn. Oh, that's cute. But yeah, so the I just wanted to get involved. I love our sheriff. I love him. He is passionate. He's not a politician. His family, good people. My kids went to the same school that he did, so it's just all the events, you're like, hey. But he was that way before he became sheriff too. So that's where it's like, okay, this is a real guy. I can get behind him.
Yeah.
He's not just, you know, putting on the hat for show. This is a real deal. So, you know, I like real people. And I think that's why I connected with you. You didn't come with no, you know, whatever. Because wearing that uniform sometimes can make some people a little more. Wearing a gun can make you, right?
Yeah.
But when you can wear a badge honorably and humble, there's something to be said about that. And I just, you know, it's not an easy job. It is not an easy job. I was going to sign up, but then it's dangerous. I got three kids and they ain't got nobody, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I wasn't able to go to the military. I was going to sign up with the military years ago. That was back after the second kid. There's so much to the testimony. We don't have enough time. But it didn't work out. But there's a lot that comes, a lot of responsibilities, a lot of time that it takes away from your family, and even something so innocent that you can go out on a call could be the last time and you never come back home. And it's like you got to step out of your door every day. One, pray, protection, but two, okay, this is a new day.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's going to bring. You almost have to have a let's go, pump yourself up, you know, because you're dealing with all of the community, all of society, you know. Sometimes it's people from other communities and different nationalities. There's different understandings, dialect, everything plays a part. A lot of it seems to be, you know, and I don't know if I should even touch on it, but it's almost like you need a psychologist or a psychology degree to be an officer because a lot of it's mental health, you know. But anyway, so I thank you for everything that you do.
Thank you.
And all the guys that stand and women that stand next to you and you get out every day because your wife doesn't know when you're going to come back, if today's going to be the day. But you pray over that. You speak into it. And I will see you tonight.
Yes.
You are shielded and protected by the blood. Yes. All right. And I'll have dinner ready for you. So I'll see you tonight. Right.
Yeah. 100%.
Sorry.
Yeah, we talk about that every day. You have to make that decision that that's what you're walking into.
Yeah.
And that's a very real thought every time I step out of my door. You know, somewhere in my mind, it's like, today could be the last day.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's, what was it, just the FSU shooting?
Oh, man.
There's so much going on everywhere, and it's almost coming. We are so numb to it because it's so, it's so normal.
Yeah.
And what we don't realize or normalize are the ones that are being called out to go into the battle, to go into harm's way, to protect our children that are bystanders and pray that it's not them. There's so much that we take for granted as a first world country.
Yes.
But there's, you know, a lot of danger out there too. So that's why training is so important. So important. And that's what I've learned a lot with the training that has been given by the Sheriff's Department is it wakes you up. It wakes you up. You don't think the same. I go into a room, I'm like, where are the exits, right? How many people, how many could I grab? What can I, every scenario from fire, from shooting, from bombs, you know, anything that could happen. And what would my responsibility be and how would I respond? And then you hope the fight, flight, and freeze. And I think one is Dawn. That's a new one. I don't know if it's passed yet. Mm-hmm. But how you're going to respond. And you just hope that you can and you don't freeze, that you move. But maybe my past trauma will do me good. Yeah. And I just react.
You never know. You know, humor. One thing I've always believed in is you train how you fight. So whenever you hit those situations, you know, that's why we train the way that we do, because a lot of the times when you hit a stressful situation, muscle memory kicks in.
That's what they said.
You know what I mean? So we train how we fight, because, you know, even when you're in a situation where you have to use deadly force, your accuracy goes down. Mm-hmm. Tremendously, because your of adrenaline. The physiological factors that are going on. Adrenaline's rushing, you're breathing heavily, you having to move depending on what you got going on. You know what I mean? So the fundamentals and just taking training seriously and building that strong muscle memory in everything that you do, because when it comes down to it, you can't be thinking, oh, where's my magazines? Oh man, I'm out, I need to reload. It should be like automatic. You know, back online on your target, you know what I mean? So yeah, that's pretty cool. I think I really, really appreciate people like you who come out and support the community, because you didn't have to. You could have done that. Was that a Saturday?
Yeah, it was.
It was a Saturday. You could have been doing something else. And it was hot.
Yes.
It was hot.
Yeah.
Okay. And you could have been doing anything else. But y'all held it down the whole day. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's something that I'm sure other people would want to know is what made you really want to volunteer? What is it that pushes you to keep coming back?
Every time I volunteered, there's a lesson. There's always something waiting for you outside the door. Everything that you're called to do, I mean, you don't know if you're going to learn a lesson at Kroger, right? Oh, can I say Kroger? Sorry.
You can say Kroger.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, the grocery store. You can learn something at the grocery store. Mainly it was originally just to be in the community. You know, it's like I have some free time. I'm finally in a place of my life where my kids are grown and I don't have a partner and I have a free moment and I'm in a place of peace where I'm growing, I'm healing, you know, from all the things. And it's just it's a beautiful place to be and I'm very thankful. But so it's like, you know, let's go see what I can get out. So I looked at some, And I've been in different programs. I just did some research, you know, just looking up some things in the community. What do they have? I love to learn. And I'm blessed right now that my job's not very stressful. I get the job done. It's easy for me. You know, I don't know if other people can, but to me, it's like brushing your teeth. It's no problem. So I'm able to have that energy to feed into other people. My children are good. They call every once in a while. They need something. I'm there. But they're now getting so independent because I raised them that way, right? They still need their mama sometimes. But getting involved with many different programs, but this one was one that was consistent, that like our last one where I met you was with children. Mm-hmm. I love babies, as I've expressed. I just love them. Some of them need to be shaken. I'm just kidding. But anyway, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, yeah, child, it can't act like that. More teenagers. But I don't know. The people that I volunteer with as well, it's incredible community because they come from so many walks of life. Like we were discussing that day where, I mean, some are astronauts. Yeah. Some are physicists. Some are bioengineers, like teachers. They are all walks of life, and you don't realize who you're standing by. But you'll never meet these people unless you put yourself out there, right? Yes. So it's interesting to watch how they all, you know, try to figure things out. And some it's just natural. We had a lost boy, one situation at one of the events. It was another situation. And someone, because the child couldn't remember, he's like, you know, yellow with daisies all over it, you know. And it wasn't. It was polka dots. But one of the guys was thinking where children don't think like that. They think that they understand, but they don't. You just have to think outside the box because they're only looking at the color. So he goes, look for yellow and white. Stripes, stars, whatever. And sure enough, because of that, thinking from the one individual, we could find the mom within, I think it was 15 minutes.
Wow.
So, yeah. So it's very useful. Very useful. And he shared that with us later on, like, keep this in mind for future if this ever happens, that you're dealing with a child, and a child's mind is subjective, you know? So you got to think outside and just look at the color. Just minimize what the information that they're giving you. So
it's
pretty cool. But, yeah, the people, not only the people that I'm volunteering, and we're making a difference. That child was terrified. We were able to calm him down. Find mom, get them together. Officers came. Like, I mean, it's awesome. And it's a team. I love teamwork, right? Yeah. It's like you can, being able to jump in, whether I need to be in the line, following a leader, or if I see we need a leader, let's jump up, let's get it done. You know, so it's like just assessing a situation. And it gives me an opportunity to exercise a gift that God's given me.
I love that. Yeah, I see y'all work together very well. Yeah. I just think it's really cool. I think it's a great initiative, you know, and I think I believe there's special places in heaven for people that, you know, to give their time to serve others and put others before themselves. I think it shows a lot of selflessness.
I never thought about it, but that's a beautiful thought.
Yeah.
I hope so too.
I'm always just that, like, in deep admiration when I see y'all at the event. So I was in deep admiration when I met y'all, because I'm like, man, it's hot out here. Like, you know,
these little rugrats,
like, people volunteering, baby kids, and like just serving in excellence.
Yeah.
You know, it's different if you're volunteering and you just kind of like slacking and like,
yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah.
But
then
leaning
up, holding up at the wall,
you know,
kind of thing, not being
caring,
present.
Not caring, but y'all served in excellence. And I thought that was really cool.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll definitely share that with them because
they
take it, everyone takes it serious, from the EMTs, and they weren't EMTs in their careers. But they've taken all the classes to where, okay, I'm strapped up, I'm ready, I've got all the equipment that I need, no matter the situation, until the experts come.
That's cool.
Where we've been trained, even from packing wounds and whatever. Like, and it's still going.
Yes.
There's still so much training to be had. Because one, muscle memory, like you said, being consistent, but also there's so much to learn. There's so much to know. And I love that. Yeah. I love that, because here's another thing they thought. If anything was to happen, even let's say a tornado, and you're at home, we can help the community by our neighborhood. Hey, I got a little bit of knowledge here. Let me make sure my family's okay. Now let me go check my neighbors.
Yes.
And then now I am, you know, doing my thing where I need to help the community and not have the officers have to go out or the EMTs to come out where they're like really serious situations and we're able to be where we are and in our homes. Like, hey, everybody's good. Let's do it. And then it brings the community together. And now we're strong. We're unified, right?
Yeah.
Because if we're divided, that's where things get destroyed, destruction.
Yeah. Chaos.
But when chaos, yes.
Yes.
But when we come together, we unite, there's nothing like that. There's nothing like that. And that's where you can conquer.
That's right? Super cool. That's, that really is super cool. So one last thing I would love to talk about, and I know that you've mentioned this. You mentioned that one day you're thinking about writing a book.
Uh-huh.
Are you able to share anything about that? Or, you know, is there a specific person or type of person that you want to reach with that book?
My girls are always pushing me. They're like, Mom, you need to write a book. Because it's almost every day they're learning something new they didn't know about me. Mm. So it'll be like a movie or a situation. I'm like, I remember when I was 23 and I did that. And they were like, what? Like being a taxi driver. Like, you know, my own little taxi driver in Clayton County trying to just make ends meet. Survival, right? You're just trying to make it. Hey, come on. Getting cheered on by the local, you know, crackhead. Like, you know what I'm saying? And they're just like, what? I'm like, telling you. Or, you know, having cocktails with the women in different, there's so much. And an hour isn't enough time.
Yeah.
And my girls are always pushing me to, Mom, put it down. And I'm just, you know, you're like, what? You know, I don't know, you know. But recently the Lord has pressed on me. He's just kind of like nudging me like, you know, you need to start working on it.
Good.
You need to start working on it. And so that's, you know, if it helps someone, it's worth it. If it's gives people hope, if it's funny and somebody just needs a good laugh, you know. So
you think it'd be maybe more just based off of your personal testimony, just like kind of like an autobiography, just telling your life. You know, your story, essentially.
That's where it would begin.
Okay.
But if the Lord leads me to something different, then I will just follow.
Wow.
Because, you know, when the anointing starts to pour out, you don't fight it. You're like, let's go. Mm. You know, so I don't know, because that's been the reason, that's the reluctancy, the reason why I haven't conquered it. I've got probably 20 titles
gotcha.
In my phone. And I'll tell my girls, what about this? Ooh, good. That's a good one, Mom. Yeah, yeah, do that one. And then I'm like, hey, here's another. And they're like, where happened to the other one? When are you going to write that? And I could make some funny. You know, I don't know. I need to start working on that. I definitely need to start working on that and start. I started journaling.
Good.
And I think that's going to help me reflect because I'm new in the spiritual believing in the Lord and just really getting close with God and healing and learning backsliding and the dangers of that. And it's no joke. And you got to really walk. This is not for the weak of heart.
Oh, no.
But all can do. You can do all things in Christ. So
yes.
With Him, you can. You cannot. Anyway, so to be continued.
Okay.
Be continued.
So I definitely... I definitely am looking forward to that. I'm here to support you in any way that I can to help make that happen. But I definitely will be, you know, supporting you getting one of the first copies that comes out.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
I can't wait to see what God is going to do and how He's going to use you.
Me too.
I can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
It's been awesome. From laying hands on souls in comas, jumping up to, I can't believe the things that I've witnessed. I truly am like, and it's not me. Mm. It ain't me. I'm just a person, right?
Yeah.
But when you walk with him, he can, oh, the abilities that can be done. Because we're supposed to be out here doing all the things that the Lord did. He gave us the ability. He gave us the power.
Gave us the authority.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, looks like we're coming up on time. But before we let you go.
Okay.
I've always asked this question.
Uh-oh.
All right. Oh, no, it's not uh-oh. I just think it's a very cool question.
Okay.
I like to ask it. What would people be surprised to know about you?
I think the things that I've shared. When they first see me, they just see, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Little white girl walking around.
Yeah.
And then when they hear the stories and the testimonies, which only very few I've shared, but the little nuggets from, you know, taxi driver and, you know, getting cheered on. Just there's so much you don't know. Don't judge a book by its cover. Because
yes.
There's so much beyond. There's so much depth, you wow. know. It's just whether or not someone you can break through the outer shell.
Yeah.
It's the onion, right?
Thanks layer for sharing that. 100%.
Yeah.
Thank you. I think that was a great answer. I mean, I would have never known any of that if you didn't share it, yeah. right? I do have something for you.
Okay. It's a gun. I'm just kidding.
So what I have for you is a custom Call to Serve.
Oh, that is cool.
Podcast challenge coin.
Yes, I've got challenge coins. And, I love this.
On the back is our slogan, serving those who serve others.
Heck yeah.
You know, I really appreciate
Thank you.
All you do for our community.
Thank you.
I appreciate you as a human.
Thank
yes,
you.
It's my pleasure. And what I want that to be is a reminder every time you see that, why you make a decision to serve every day.
That's good.
Why do you serve?
Come on.
You get what I'm saying? Ooh, let that yes. be a reminder. But also,
you know,
got you a Call to Serve sticker. You
Let's
put
go.
Put it okay. on something, you know.
Yeah.
For that also to be a reminder.
Your drinks.
Yeah. Some people Bass. Put it on like their tumblers or
their
Yetis or their Stanley Cups or,
you know. No, yeah, that's awesome.
Wherever.
Thank you.
You know,
Thank you.
I just want that to be a reminder for why you serve and why God has called you to a life of service, not only in what you do every day, but service through telling people your story and sharing your testimony, you know. And then I believe eventually, you know, God is going to help you in a discipleship journey, you know, helping disciple other people.
Yeah.
And that's going to be big.
Yeah, it is.
It's going to be big.
Let's go.
So, yeah, we definitely going to have you come back in a later episode, talk about some updates. Maybe that book could be ready.
Hey.
Maybe, you know. but until next time.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.